Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. I am joined today by Taylor Nardone. I butchered his name earlier and I got it right this time.
Killed it in the best way.
So yes. Excited to have you on the podcast. This is long overdue, and so I feel like we are Instagram friends, and I really sometimes, I feel like we're like laughing together in my living room. You just don't know it because you crack me up.
Oh, I definitely know it. I
don't know if you realize that, but like your YouTube videos, if y'all are not following him on YouTube, are hysterical. And just honestly, some of the just posts you put on your Instagram stories, I literally will just laugh.
It's just these crazy things that happen to me. I'm telling you, like... life is funny. You know, it's a crazy year, so crazy stuff.
Well, Taylor, go ahead and just start by introducing yourself. Let everybody know a little bit about you, and we'll get going with today's conversation.
Yes. So hello, everybody. I am so excited to be here. Whenever I say hello, everyone, I always feel like I'm starting off a YouTube video. So I am an elementary music teacher up in Massachusetts, and this is my fourth year of teaching. I always say in every video, and it's a disclaimer, but I really do love my job. I love what I do and just kind of making the best of it this year. So I teach K-5 general music. I do not do band or orchestra. We have separate teachers for that. We're a pretty well-supported district for the arts, which is pretty awesome. And so I usually have a choral program, unfortunately, this year. You know, just a couple of things happen, so we can't quite have that right now, but that's okay. But yeah, that is me. And I have a YouTube channel, and I started my, I was just thinking the other day of when I actually started my teacher Instagram and YouTube. I think it was about a year and a half ago. So time is flying.
It does. Yeah. Time goes by so fast. It really does.
It's wild.
Yeah. So today's conversation is about the new normal. And so you already talked about you can't have your kids sing. So that is part of a big part of the new normal is not being able to sing with your kiddos. So just tell us what your new normal looks like this year as an elementary music teacher. I know there's a lot to that, but.
I know. Well, it's funny because sometimes I look back at like every once in a while, I like, you know, see one of my older videos like in March or something. And I'm like, I can't even look at it because I'm like, oh, it was such a different time. You know what I mean?
Right.
But oh my gosh, the new normal is pretty crazy. I'm trying to keep things in my personal life as sane as possible. You know what I mean? So I don't really see a lot of people per se outside of school, but even just my routine at night, my routine in the morning, I just try and, you know, just as much as I can, a level of normal for myself. But you know, schools, it's so basically my district is doing a hybrid model. So we have the kids either come on a Tuesday, Thursday or a Wednesday, Friday. So it's like an A or B cohort. And then Mondays we have remote teaching. My school wanted to get as best as possible all of the specials in person. So a lot of my preps are kind of stacked on that Monday, but I don't mind it because I love seeing the kids in person. I would rather see them in you know, if we have that choice, see them in person. So my new life is me getting in a lot of steps every day because I'm traveling to the classrooms on my cart, which I do love my little cart. I book it down that hallway. Everyone can hear me going. But yeah, just a lot of logistics and a lot of cleaning and a lot of probably even more high energy in the classroom because we're trying to get the kids, you know, excited when, you know, we can't sing inside or we can't use this or I can't physically take all these instruments. And so it's been tricky, but trying to find the silver linings.
Yeah, which is a huge part of it for sure. Yeah. When do you feel better now than you did, I guess, like mindset wise, when you found out things would be so different? Do you feel better now? like you've adjusted and adapted, or is it still, of course there's going to be hard days, but how do you keep your mindset right? I guess, like you said, you try to live your life outside of school as normal as you can. Does that help a lot?
It really does. I've set up for myself, which I am thinking over the past couple of weeks is a pretty good like morning and evening kind of like routine for myself. So it's so weird. I light a candle every night. It's like my thing. It's like the day is done. I light a candle and I put on just some light, like jazz music in the background. And I just sit for a minute. I'll read something. I have a couple books that I'm reading right now. You know, I'll watch some YouTube videos, and I actually have a little mini notebook. I have it right here actually.
Oh yeah.
And, oh my gosh, it's so cute. It's my tiny little notebook. And every evening I just write down on it, like, not like what my intentions are for the evening, but just like literally like, okay, like I want to enjoy myself. Like, here's a couple of things I want to do. You know what I mean? Cause sometimes when I think about like, oh, I want to relax, I have these like ideas of like, oh, I could watch this or that. And then they just kind of float away. So I'm like, let me just write down a couple of things. So that's been keeping me sane. You know, in terms of school though, I think, you know, I have a really good job in the sense that I feel very trusted by administration. So I feel like they kind of let me do my job. So I can kind of teach the curriculum in different ways. I'm not really like pigeonholed into one specific way of doing it, which I really like. So I kind of feel like I'm trying to stay in like a happy little bubble with the kids. I'm just trying to enjoy the time with them. Cause I don't know how long, you know, we'll be in school, you know, if our cases go up or, you know, so I think just keeping it big picture and remembering like, wow, I really have a great job when you're in those moments with the kids, just making music, watching them smile, even if they're under their mask, you know what I mean? Like just watching them excited.
Yeah.
So remembering that big picture element, I think is really huge and just keeps me like kind of level headed throughout the process. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they're smizing, right?
They are so smizing. And I always show them, they're like, cause I joked at the beginning of the year, they were like, how are you going to know if we're smiling? I said, watch my face.
Yeah.
I said, look at me, this is with my dead eyes. And then I was like, you know, and they could totally see a difference.
That's so it's awesome. Funny. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love the mindset you have. And like you said, thinking of the bigger picture. And even like you said, journaling and just focusing on yourself. And so we can go a couple of different directions. But one of the things I do hear a lot is, well, I don't have a lot of time to take care of myself. And self-care is, you see it all over social media, and take care of yourself, self-care, self-care. And that is important. But this year it does look different. You're not going to have a lot of time. Yeah. And when you do, you're dead tired. And so would you say it's not a matter of how much time you have for yourself, but kind of what you do for yourself when you do have time?
Yes.
Alone. Yeah.
Yes. And I think the key of it is you have to find something like self-care. It doesn't matter how long self-care is, what time it's at. Self-care to me, if we relate it back to teaching, is being able to mentally disconnect from your school day, not disassociate, but literally just like disconnect, meaning that you have to have something that's healthy to unwind at the end of the day. You have to have a routine. You have to have something in place that allows you to calm your mind. Because I think if you don't, you get home, and this happens to me all the time, and you're on your phone, you're like, oh, I just scrolled TikTok for 5 hours. Awesome. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's not really self-care. I mean, that's like, you know, that's fine. But you want to find something that literally relaxes you and brings you down and takes you out of that stressful situation. And even if it's like a half hour at the end of the night, just giving you something is important. Because I always find that whenever I don't get that piece of recharge, I walk in the next day already behind in my mind. I'm just like chasing it, and then my wheels are spinning and I don't feel rested, you know, even if I've had the amount of time that I normally would. So I think just having something that allows you to, you know, kind of like get rid of the day and just fully be like, okay, now I'm good. You know, like that's important. And it's different for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's so good. So you were talking about too, about with your students, how you focus on the bigger picture, but you're also given leeway to kind of do things the way you want to do them. And I know something that's causing a lot of stress for teachers this year, music teachers this year, especially is, well, the not being able to have their students sing, not being able to put on programs and performances. And I've been asked this question, and I'm sure you have too, so many times is, well, what do I do then? They can't sing, what do I do? And I remind them, you know, you didn't become a singing teacher, you became a music teacher. And it's, yes, it's probably not what you ever thought you would have to do. Never in a million years did you think you'd have to plan lessons in elementary music that didn't require singing, but there are ways to adjust and adapt and move forward. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. What are some ways you have, well, tell us, first of all, are your students allowed to sing at all, or do you have some
guidelines, you know, modifications you can make and things like that.
Yeah. So we are not allowed to sing indoors.
Okay.
If we are outside, we can sing 10 feet apart with a mask on. And I will be honest and tell you, I have not tried that yet. And the tricky part about it is that not every room has a door to the outside. And if there happens to be a class that's having lunch within, we have different pods, like different wings of our school. So if there's a class that's having a lunch in that pod and they have to walk to the end of the pod to get their lunch, that's hallway passing time. So I can't take them out. And then if there's a class outside that's having a mask break, there's nowhere to go. Do you know what I mean? And then up on the field, we have phys ed happening. So it's a little tricky in that regard. So we actually haven't, we haven't even tried it yet.
Hopefully. Yeah. And that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It, and in terms of like, you know, I'm glad you brought that up about the no singing component and that teachers that, you know, feel a little bit frustrated about that. I really try and think very outside the box with music ed. And I think there are so many different ways that you can teach. I will say it's a huge bummer. You know what I mean? And you forget to, like, I've had kindergarten for the first time this week, because for the first part of the year, I had grades 2, 4, and 5. So we have like a flip-flop rotation. So now I'm K-1-3. And so even singing directions, you know what I mean? Like something as small as that, like little, like the components of class that just, that make the pacing go, you know? So it does feel like there's a little something missing there. But there's so many different ways that you can express, that you can allow kids to express themselves through music that isn't necessarily through singing. And I think part of that's like our kind of like Western culture of like what we think music education is. And we got to kind of like break that a little bit. But I think it's an element to, or actually, let me back up because my mind's spinning. Hold on. So let me say this. So in my class on a normal day, like outside of a pandemic, we would have equal amount. I don't know. What is that, right? We have an equal amount of singing, an amount of visuals up on the board, like the peaks and the valleys within class, like a valley of a visual up there. And then we would have an equal amount of time with some movement and then instruments. So I'm not like a singing focused class. It's not a movement focus. Like it's all different elements kind of combined into one.
Right.
So all we're doing is just taking out one piece of that, but we still have the rest of it. We still have all of the stuff that we can do up on the board. We can do so many exciting things with technology. And then we can do movement still, but it's just modified. They just have to be in their desk area, but that's fine. We can work with that. We can do some drumming. I still can bring in some instruments. I just have to be mindful of who's using them when. You know what I mean? So I think there's so many different ways to make music outside of our traditional realm of singing. And I think if anything, maybe a silver lining is that it will push us a little bit as music teachers to kind of look outside of that box and see the different ways that students can still get excited about. Is that me? I am so sorry. My alarm just went off. It was reminding me of our talk, but we're already in it.
You're fine.
But yeah, so I'm huge on that, you know, that it shouldn't, I don't know. I don't think the class should have one specific focus per se of any of those elements. I think, or not, I shouldn't say should, but you know, it's nice to kind of have a balance of it.
Right. You know? Oh, I agree with that completely. And this isn't something we were going to talk about, but I advise teachers a lot when they're really struggling with the upper elementary grades and they're like, they don't want to learn what I'm teaching. They don't want to sing. They don't want to, there's nothing, when you look at the objectives, and every state's different, every district is different, but when you look at, you know, the national music standards, it, you know, it doesn't just say have your kids sing. There's so many different ways they can explore music. So I'm not saying don't try to have them sing at all in a regular school year, but like you said, there's so many other ways they can explore music. And so if you're fourth and fifth graders, fifth grade especially, isn't wanting to sing, try something else, you know, like,
and I am going to say as well, so I don't do a lot of singing with fifth grade. And this is the, this particular fifth grade class, I bet I would have had half of them in chorus this year, at least. They do love to sing, but when they hit fifth grade in that upper, like they start to get very self-conscious and very hyper aware. And of course you want to build a culture of singing, but it's okay if it gets to a point where maybe they're just not comfortable in that traditional setting. And that's really okay. There's so many different elements of music technology. Like we were just doing a garage band project. The kids were obsessed. Like the most important thing that we have to keep in mind about elementary music in particular is that our job is, yes, we want to teach them our curriculum pieces, but we have to ignite the spark. Have to ignite the spark in music. And if we don't, then that's, I don't know, for me, that's always a concern. I'm like, and it doesn't mean that every child's going to love music, because of course we know that that's just not the case, but you just want to give them a little piece of something. And we have to be careful that we don't push them too much in one specific direction that we end up twisting it where they end up not enjoying it because it was so, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, with the upper kids, I think it's, I don't know, it's kind of like a lab of creation. It's an opportunity to do things that are different. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which I think is really cool. So
completely. And a lot of it is getting out of your comfort zone and what you're, you know, especially this year, I think that's where a lot of teachers maybe are stuck, is they're so used to doing things one way that they've never really varied up their lesson plans very much, or maybe just changed one or two things or inserted a different song here or there. And this year it is a lot of, like you said, thinking outside the box, using more technology, not singing with your students. And so I feel like it's getting better. The teachers I work with, and you know, but whenever it first started, they're like, what do I do? I don't even know what to do at all. And I'm like, I don't understand, you know? So
I was like, have them move.
You can use the desk as, you know, drums. If you can't get the instruments in there, they can do a ton of body percussion. You can explore music together, listen to it. And they're like, oh. And it's so, I don't know. What ways have you adapted instruction? I know I just named a few, but how are you doing that with your students while you're rolling, especially on a cart? You know, what are you doing?
Yeah. So I've always been one to use a lot of technology. Actually, I shouldn't even say a lot of like technology per se, but I always have 87 million tabs open on my computer. You know, I always have my computer. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess, I don't know. I guess like a typical class would be, you know, we usually start off with an element of drumming. I have a couple of songs that we do drums to. I think one thing that I've gotten good at over the years is being able to kind of make up a routine on the spot. I usually try and have something prepared, but otherwise I'm like, hey, we're going to do that. You know, it's almost like an aerobics class when you're in there. You know what I mean?
I love it.
I have I've used like tennis balls before. So I sometimes bring in sports equipment. And then we pair to, and it's a good opportunity to talk about form. Like I'm just thinking off the top of my head, you know what I mean? We compare the movements to the different parts of the song. And then we usually go into something that's up on the board. So I've had Quaver the past several years. I don't have Quaver this year. So I found some other resources that are, which Quaver is a curriculum. If anyone doesn't know about that, it's a really awesome curriculum. So I found, you know, usually something to do up on the board. That's a technology piece. Like today we did a body percussion dance. So we would drag down, it would give you a choice in the boxes. This is for like first grade of, you know, it's either like tapping your head, tapping whatever it is. And we would create our own composition up there. So then we did that. And then we go into something else. And so there's a lot of, I mean, I would even say like music literature in the classroom. I love the story Bedtime at the Swamp, which is like a rap. And the kids have to, the part that they have to say over and over, like that ostinato is, it's like splish, splash, rumba, rumba, bim, bam, boom. And we pair a movement to it. It's about a monster. So I think like I've just taken out the traditional, like, oh, we're going to learn a song. Like usually we'd start off class, they would come in and we would be right there. We'd start learning a song. So I replace it with drumming. You know what I mean? Okay. With some of the younger kids, you can take a song that would normally be in a game. Like we could still do Doggy Doggy, Where's Your Bone? We just have to chant it. And I have to reuse not reuse the shakers. I have to have enough shakers where I'm not using the same one so that the kids aren't touching the same shaker, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So I know that was a lot of thoughts, but there's ways to adapt it. You know what I mean? So I think it's just taking those elements that you really can't do and replacing it with something that has a similar effect. Like what's the intention behind it? You know what I mean?
Right. So. Yeah. So you're focusing on what concepts you're wanting your kiddos to learn. And then you're thinking about how are you going to
do
that with them? Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So on your cart, what do you typically have on there? I know it probably totally depends on what grade level and what day it is and what you're teaching, but what do you typically have on there? I know I get asked this all the time.
You know what? Honestly, like besides it looking like a mess at the end of the day, because it is a hot mess. So I actually have, so on my cart itself, on top, I usually have my computer, my projector. I have an extension cord because I have my laptop charger. That goes in there. I have my computer speakers, which also have to plug in, and then the projector has to plug in. So that's the top there. The bottom usually has rhythm sticks, tennis balls. We just finished a cup song in class, which is another fun one to do. Yeah. Any music teachers out there, the cup song is great. You don't even have to sing. You can just teach them the pattern. So any of the either instruments or resources that I'm going to use in class would be on the bottom. But a lot of the stuff is on my computer. If we do technology, I've actually been ending class with, you know, something up on the board, about 10 minutes of something up on the board. We might, you know, on YouTube, there's something called a line rider. It's pretty epic. It's like these letters and, you know, the line is drawn to represent the music. So they have different songs that are paired up there. So you can watch the guy sled and, you know, they have a race there and we do Chrome Music Lab. I mean, there's a lot of different options. So, that's usually what's on there. And then it just looks like a hot mess at the end of the day. My lesson plans are all over the place. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. But you leave flexibility in there. Like you even said with that drumming activity where you may have something planned, but you're like, actually, I feel like doing this today.
And oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you roll with the punches.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like chunking it out. It's being like, okay, this chunk of time we're going to do, like we need to be physical. We need to be moving. We need to do some drumming. This is going to be, so we just had a peak in class. Now we need a valley. Okay. So now we're going to sit and now we're going to look up on the board. Okay. Now we got to rev it back up. Now, you know what I mean? So as long as I have my chunks there and we can kind of like adapt it based upon the class.
Awesome. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about when it comes to procedures in classroom management, when you're in your classroom, you know, you can have it all set up the way you want and have every, you know, tell the different kiddos what your procedures are and all the things. So how does that look like when you are going into their classrooms? Do you follow the procedures that classroom teacher already has in place, or do you kind of do a mixture of your own and theirs, or how does that work for you out of curiosity?
That's such a good question. So normally when I'm in my classroom, we have a point system. So the kids get a total of, they can get 4 points a day. They get a point for their entrance, their listening, their effort, and then their exit. Mm-hmm. And then I tally up the points over a certain number of weeks. If by the end they get a certain, I always have like, you need to get 28 points by this date, then we have like a celebration day or whatever.
Yeah.
Because this is my, I think it's going to be different for every teacher. Because this is my fourth year there, I think the kids understand it's abnormal. So I don't really have anything that I've put in place yet. I haven't really had any issues yet. And I think they're just so happy to be in school.
Yeah,
so I think I haven't really done anything for this rotation, possibly coming into our next rotation when I go back to the first set of students I had. I was considering implementing my point system again. But I think it's a vibe where like the kids know me, I know them, and they just kind of, you know what I mean?
And
I think that's kind of built. So I haven't really, I don't know if they've viewed this yet as a new normal as much as it is something that's temporary, whether or not it is a new normal, you know what I mean? So I haven't, I haven't fully kind of immersed into that yet. I have been thinking about it a little bit, but you know, I think the kids are just excited to see their teachers too. So I think for the most part, you know, it's been okay so far, but definitely something to consider as I go.
Oh, for sure. And like you said, if you've been there 4 years, year three, I feel like after you hit that year, it's like the magic year. Like things just kind of like, I wouldn't say they just coast, but they do coast.
They roll. They just start rolling. You're like, oh my gosh, wait, everything's easier. I mean, even as this year is crazy, like there's also elements of this year where I'm doing some, you know, for me personally in my teaching journey, like some quality teaching. And I'm like, oh, year four. Okay. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty wild, but like it does. Yeah. Like I would say after you're like going into your third year, you're like, oh, and then like, going into this year, like, even though, again, it's crazy, you're just like, oh, wait a second. Like, you just feel more established in yourself. And I think being in a K through five school, like, you know, my fifth graders right now were my second graders when I came. We all know when that shift in mindset happens. End of third grade, fourth grade, end of, you know, I'm like, when you've had them through that, smooth sailing. For the I mean, there's always issues, you know what I mean? But for the most part,
you're like, listen up, Johnny. I knew you were a squirt, so get it together.
Well, do you know what I mean? But honestly, you can just kind of look at them and they just get it. And it's, you know, I almost felt like when I first started teaching music, it's like, you know, no matter how much charisma you have, which classroom management, I feel like a lot of it, like, I'm not going to, I think it depends on your school, your environment, all of those things, but like a natural, real charisma and presence in the classroom takes care of a lot of things. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
And
I completely agree. Oh, I was going to say, one of the pieces of advice I got was to be very strict and rules and this, because I walked into a situation where there hadn't been music for forever. And I did that. And the kids did follow the rules, but I remember being like, this isn't me. And so, but she was like, oh no, you can loosen the reins up after a couple of weeks. But I was like, I don't like this. I feel like I can still like teach classroom management and have them follow procedures, but not be like the Wicked Witch of the West in the process, you know?
Well, that's the thing too. And I think like the important thing to find is that, you know, as a music teacher, we have a very special role and we see the kids. I mean, again, it depends on every school. I mean, we see them for an hour a week.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's a really special time. And I think there's no right or wrong way to do it, but you have to cater to you and your personality and what works. And it's very hard to keep up something that's not you, number one, like being overly strict or the opposite, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. And I think, you know, in addition to that, it's like the kids also sometimes can see through that. So you kind of, so there's not, I think the biggest piece that I learned over time was that there's not one way to manage a classroom. There's so many different types of ways to manage a class. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, oh. Just a thought on that one. And I forgot where my mind was going for a second.
Oh, no, but. No, but I agree with that completely. It is different personalities. No two teachers are going to be the same. And it's getting in there and doing it. Trial and error. Yeah. And then you'll figure out what works for you and what you don't like, what you do like, what you, and every class is different. You can't, you know, they're all going to have their own personalities and ways
absolutely.
Of doing things too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when it comes to teaching on a cart and when you're looking at your schedule, when the kids were coming to you, you sort of knew how much time you needed to stop class and then get them out of there to get the other class in. So has that changed a little bit? Have you noticed when it comes to teaching time? You said you see them an hour a week. Do you know how much time you need to stop to clean instruments and things like that, and how long it's going to take you to roll to a class and all those things, or did that take a while to figure out too?
So what I will say is because I see them for an hour a week, which is a pretty long amount of time, the most classes I have in one day are 5 classes, and I have a break in between for lunch. So if I had a half hour class and I had double that, that would be a lot of cleaning in between. But for the most part, what I'm able to do, especially in a hybrid model where we only have half the number of kids in a class, I pretty much can bring the instruments that I need and be able to use all of them and then clean them at lunch and then go for the afternoon rather than in between. Occasionally, I do have to. We do have a really good spray. It's like a very quick drying spray. That was bought for our district. So, I oftentimes use that in addition to a couple other things to clean. But, for the most part, I end up just packing up about a minute or two before. I kind of have my routine. And, you know, when the kids, we used to have these beautiful flower tables, and now the kids are back to regular desks with the pockets inside. So if they get a tennis ball and they get their drumsticks, they keep them inside their desk. And then I just come around with my bucket, they pop it in, and then I'm usually good. And having that extension cord is everything, because I can just pop it up, put it on my cart, and then I bounce. The tricky part is that we don't have any buffer time between classes. So when one ends, the next one's supposed to start. Teachers at my school are just so, they're awesome. They're so flexible. Like they get it.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we have one flow of traffic right now. So there's only one way that you can go. But for the most part, you know, it just kind of is what it is. And so I haven't really had too much of a fluctuation with that yet in terms of the timing piece. I'm just rushing around in between classes, but
right. So you're just out of breath. You know, you're like, I'm good. Nobody worry about me.
Marathon.
I'm okay.
I know. And I feel bad because then I'm behind someone who's walking on the show and I'm like, you're doing such a good job, but I gotta go. You know what I mean? Like they're following directions, but I'm like, I know.
Like knocking kids out of the way. You're like, don't worry. It's all good. I gotta get.
Oh my gosh.
I was actually asked this question recently when you are in the classroom, the teacher's classrooms, and there are desks and chairs there. They said, you know, some of the students, this particular person asked this question. She said some of the students are being distracted by the chairs and keep messing with them or messing with things in their desk. Are there any tricks you have around that, or how you've just like used what you already have in that classroom to teach?
In terms of like the fidgetiness with
How do you get the kids to focus? I guess is what I'm asking. Does that make sense?
So they're actually, ironically enough, like there's so few things in the classrooms, right? They're bare. Like the classrooms have nothing in them. So the kids really I don't know if they even have too much. If they get distracted, they probably get distracted with the thing that I give them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. Any moment like that though, with younger students in particular, like it would be an immediate positive reinforcement, and you can make it even like a competition. Like, I'm looking for friends that are doing X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean? It's like, look at you, Johnny, right there. Oh my gosh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you can have this like kind of quick incentive that you can keep points up on the board, something like that. You know, in terms of that focus, just to keep it lively and you know, keep the kids smiling for the most part without having to come down on them too much. But yeah, it's a tricky component. What I have found as well is that when the kids come over to the music classroom, they know what to do, but that transition from the classroom, walking in the hallway to a brand new setting, they sometimes come in a little discombobulated. When you go into their classroom, like they're just sitting right there. And sometimes for some students, they're really ready. Like I have some students that have struggled with transitions in the past and I walk in, there is no transition for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're in their space. And for some, that level of like hyperstructure that we now have is working for them. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see how it goes for everybody in that respect. You know, I haven't had too many fidgety issues yet. I think the kids are just excited to move. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When they're in music class, because they haven't really been moving too much. Mm-hmm. So usually when I get that out of their system, which is why we start with that, then they can breathe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Man, that just brought to mind, you know, you have so many different learners, learning styles. Yeah. And yes. Like you said, some of the kids who would be thriving in your classroom now, and then the ones that were struggling in there are now the ones who are thriving in their classrooms. And you're like, wait, what? And so it just goes to show you, sometimes it isn't, you know, I've talked about this a lot. Sometimes it is not the child's behavior. Sometimes there is something else going on and there is some kind of breakdown in the hallway or there's a reason they're fidgeting or whatever. But I love that. And you're just seeing different personalities come out of some of the kids that you haven't seen before and things like that. So that's cool.
And I think part of that too is like, and that's why you want to have, you know, I think having a well-rounded class is really good. You have a lot of students that are introverts, you have extroverts, you have kinesthetic learners, you got visual learners. So have a piece for them all. You know what I mean? Have that movement piece for the fidgety kids. And you know, even the introverts, they'll enjoy it a little bit. And then you have that quiet time where people can sit in their heads because you can't be hype all the time. You got to have the peaks and valleys, you know? Mm-hmm. So just giving a little component for everyone, I think is important. And it also, when you understand that you have those different learners, it puts it into perspective, because the hardest thing I always feel like for music teachers and for myself, at least when I started as well, was, you know, when a child like didn't like the lesson or wasn't having fun, you know, music is so personal to us. And so when we go into that field, it's so hard to see someone just not feel what we're feeling. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's all good. Sometimes we have off days and sometimes like some students don't thrive in that environment and that's okay. You know what I mean? Just keeping it into perspective, I think is good.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool this year too, because in a way you're advocating for your music program by going into those classrooms, because the teachers, they may be in another classroom for their plan time, but they're seeing the kids learn music when maybe they've never known what the heck's going on in your room before. You know, so it's kind of cool.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a cool opportunity. A cool opportunity. Yeah.
So Taylor, what other advice do you have for music teachers who are maybe struggling to adapt their instruction for any teaching situation they may find themselves in their new normal, whether it's teaching virtually on a cart, maybe in their classroom, whatever it might look like? Do you have any advice for them about adapting instruction for their situation?
So my honest advice would be to really just reach out to people. I think we have a tendency to dive into the archives of our mind, and our mind can only go so far if we don't have new information to let it saturate. So I would highly recommend, you know, thinking outside the box sometimes can mean like, make sure you're joining, and I know this is very specific, but like join some Facebook groups, like join elementary music teachers, join I'm a General Music Teacher, join, you know, creating online instruction for music educators. There's so many of them and there's posts every day. And if you search in the Facebook group, you'll find something. Yeah. And I would follow some teachers on Instagram that post great stuff. Katie Wonderly posts a lot of great things. There's so many amazing teachers, and, you know, really reach out and just do some research, look on YouTube. And, you know, I think the biggest piece of adapting instruction is, you know, understanding that you can still do a lot. You can still do a lot of movement. You can still play instruments. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of new things that you can do with technology. So look into implementing some technology resources, you know? And again, there's so many different groups that have been posting about that. So I would say the first place to start is those Facebook groups. And even just, you can post in there and say, listen, I'm struggling, you know, and people will be like, hey, this is what I've done. Like, it's super supportive, you know?
Oh yeah. I love that advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. I've loved this conversation. Do you have any closing advice before we go? I know you just offered some amazing advice just about anything in general about teaching music that you want to share with our listeners.
I would just say, like, give yourself grace. Really trust yourself and trust the process, meaning that if it doesn't go well one day, like, you're in this for the right reasons. At some point, you will fix it and it will get better. And you're in this for the long haul, so it doesn't have to be perfect right now. Like, I think if you want to have a long career, I think we all just have to kind of keep it into perspective, big picture, and it's all going to be good.
Good advice. Where can everybody continue this conversation with you and find you online?
Yes. So I am on Instagram at the Chronicles of Teacher Tay, and my YouTube page is the same name. It is the Chronicles of Teacher Tay. I post on Instagram pretty frequently. I'm usually on my stories every day, and on YouTube, I upload videos every Sunday at 11.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Good luck with the rest of your school year and your new normal and everything.
The new normal. I know. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.